Shaken and Disturbed, everyone. I'm Darren Karp, and welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, Johnny Boy.
Oh, thank you. It's like I'm a guest on today's show or something.
I didn't want to say it, but...
I've been demoted to guest. Oh, darn. Well, listen, does that mean I have less work to do? That would be nice.
It was all that gay talk, you know?
Well, listen, the gays are taking over.
Can't have that on our show.
What can you do?
Today's show is historic, no?
Kind of historic. Yeah, kind of historic. I mean...
It's the first of its kind.
It's the first of its kind. Stay tuned, because at the end of today's episode, for the first time, we're bringing on our first ever Patreon superfan. And it's going to be... Yeah, thank you. We do need sound effects, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It's going to be really fun. We're going to play a game. We're going to give away prizes. We're going to talk about true crime stuff. If you pledge at the super fan level on Patreon, you can opt in to joining us on an episode of Shaken and Disturbed. And for our first time ever, a super fan named Denise, who some of you may know if you're in our Facebook group or came to any of our live shows, will join us and play a game called John or Darren. For a chance to win a very, very lucrative prize. We're really excited.
Very lucrative prize. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to getting to know Denise. I'm really excited. I kind of want to like flip the script on her and see like what got her into true crime. So I'm just, I'm really looking forward to it.
The game's going to be fun. Basically, it's called John or Darren. And we have a fact. We read a fact out and you have to pick whether it was me or Darren that the fact applies to. And let me just say this. You'll hear it later on. It's going to get intense. I have a feeling.
The facts are pretty good. The facts are so good that I'm excited. John, before we get into this week's case, as we should, are you imbibing this week, good sir?
I am, because if you listen to Thursday or the most recent NMR, I have had one hell of a January, okay? So I'm drinking whiskey.
I hear you, girl.
I'm drinking whiskey, brown sugar bourbon, out of the bottle, because I don't give a fuck anymore.
Wow, you really just stopped caring, okay?
I really don't. I really don't care anymore. So I'm just sipping on this. What about you?
I'm going my sour beer route, my friend, and I'm doing a Brooklyn Brewery sour ale. It's kind of a light pink and a turquoisey kind of blue, if you've ever seen it in the supermarket.
Is this the same brand? Because you had an audible reaction when you drank your sour beer from, I think, last week's episode.
This is not that brand.
What is the brand that you loved? What is the brand you loved?
I loved Back Home Brewery. That was the Persian beer that I drank. I'm trying to remember what last week's was, but it was like crazy looking. I have to go back into the because I only bought like one each. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't. Good. Yeah, it was like so good. And I'm excited for today.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had a sour beer, but just your reaction from that day, you were like, "Oh my gosh!" I was like, "I think I need to get this."
I mean, it was delish.
Before we continue, we wanted to tell you guys about this incredible service that we absolutely love and who are sponsoring today's episode. Surfshark VPN keeps your online identity safe by encrypting all of the information sent between your device and the internet. This keeps your personal data protected from big companies or cyber criminals. One really cool thing that Surfshark can do is change your virtual location on your devices. This gives you the chance to access and unblock content libraries and streaming services from other countries, like all of the Netflix libraries. Masking your IP address is essential to becoming private online. A VPN makes sure that your city, your country, and download history aren't linked to your own identity. Surfshark liberates your internet by unblocking blocked websites and bypassing geo restrictions. Internet censorship will be a thing of the past with Surfshark. Surfshark does not monitor, track, or store what you do online. That means no connection or activity logs. It's just an incredible company doing incredible things to make sure that we're all safe with how we browse the internet. And take our word for it, you want Surfshark. And are you ready for this? You guys listening are going to get an incredible deal. Go to surfshark.com/shaken and use code shaken to get 83% off plus 3 months extra for free. This is honestly one of the best deals that we've ever even had on our show. So for 83% off plus 3 extra months free, go to surfshark.com/shaken and use code shaken and secure your internet browsing experience today.
On June 10th, 1967, Doug and Hazel Parker gave birth to a daughter named Elizabeth Beth. Beth with an E at the end, which I imagine
never
isn't necessarily.
Seen that.
Never seen. I wonder if it's like a family name or a sign of being in the 60s. I don't know. But the family lived in Ontario, Canada throughout Beth's childhood, where she was involved in lots of extracurriculars, yearbook, choir, band, drama, just to name a few. We talked about band, John, you and I, if you remember last
week. That's right.
I think
yes.
It was like last week on the Patreon.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. All these episodes are blending together. I don't even remember where or when we talked about things.
I know. I'm genuinely terrified that I'm losing my mind slowly, I think.
Me too.
But that's fine. We'll get into this. So,
but yes, you and I were both in band.
We were. And
yep.
Except mine was middle school. I played the trumpet. John was a whole other story. That's
yeah,
neither
that's
here nor there.
I was. Wait, so you didn't play in high school?
No, I didn't play in high school.
Oh,
I was
I didn't
in like music
that.
Theory
okay.
in high school.
Music theory? Oh my god!
I took music theory.
Look at you.
I'm on a tangent now.
Sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Go.
Doug and Hazel worked as a salesman and a secretary, respectively. They were devout Baptists. Within his community, Doug took on the role as lay pastor, often preaching to a congregation of 100 other fundamentalist Baptists. I'm assuming lay pastor is kind of like someone who isn't really a pastor, but kind of like a someone who probably could be without any of the, I don't know.
That sounds right, but I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea. No clue.
I don't know either. There's a Baptist out there. Let us know. But in high school, Beth began struggling with her sexuality when she realized she might be attracted to women. Am I gross, right?
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
At 14, she tried to kiss a female classmate but was shot down. That would crush me. And also at 14, that would crush me.
Totally.
After high school, Beth began studying at the London Baptist Bible College. During college, Beth did her best to try and explore her sexuality while remaining in her family's good graces. Oh, I don't even want to continue. This
I
is
know.
Like
it's
triggering
like, it's
for me.
Just, yeah, it really is. But let's try to get through it. Yeah.
Well, once Beth attended a gay-friendly church service with a girlfriend, and this resulted in her expulsion from school and for her older brother, Robert, to stop speaking to her. Doug and Hazel sent Beth to a conversion therapy program, after which Beth repented and promised she'd, quote-unquote, never do it again. Fucking tragic.
Well, I want to jump in right here because... although I'm not sure that if she lived in Canada or was just simply born there, but Canada just recently, I think in the last 4 or 5 days, has completely banned and outlawed conversion therapy. So perfect timing for a story like this. And hopefully people, you know, don't have to go through the same thing now that Beth had to go through.
Because it's not only doesn't work, it's cruel, it's fucking horrible. And yeah. In 1991, Beth enrolled back into school and graduated with a minor in counseling. She then began studying nursing at Conestoga College. She did well academically, but began to binge drink alone and often. Mm. In 1995, Beth graduated and became a registered nurse, where she often worked with dementia patients. Wow, that's got to be tough. At work, Beth started taking drugs from the medication room. Ativan and Valium were her favorites. These calm a lot of anxieties. This is a running theme, I guess, in her drugs.
Yeah, and I want to say something, and this is not to marginalize alcoholics or anything like that, but typically when people are binge drinking, and especially alone, there's usually something very deep and disturbing going on, you know what I mean? Like, you don't hear of, you know, mentally typical people doing things like that. So I think it's a sign of the mental fatigue or stress that she's gone through in her life. So in September of 1995, Beth took 30 milligrams of Ativan from the medication room during her shift, and she began stumbling and slurring her words as she continued to administer medication to her patients. So, by the way, when we say she took it, I think that means that she ingested it, not necessarily, like, took it out of a cabinet. She actually took it. One of Beth's coworkers noticed and helped her into an empty bed to sleep it off. And then Beth was fired the next day, and her nursing license was suspended for a year. And I just feel like if you're caught doing this and you're fired and your license is suspended, like, how do you get a job after that? I mean, that goes on. Isn't that like public information at that point? I don't even know.
I don't know. But I also believe in the power of redemption. So maybe, you know, there are cases, yeah. You know, and so it's like, yeah, I don't know how this would happen so quickly because it seems to be a lot of bad behavior that I don't. She's clearly not, you know, the environment's got to be rough. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel for people that, you know, make mistakes and then have a hard time kind of, you know, getting back on their feet. But so this sighting on her record stayed on her record for several years as a flag to potential new employers, as we were just talking about. But by 2007, the citation had fallen off her record. So that's good, at least after a certain amount of time.
Redemption,
you know.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Sure.
So in February of 1996, Beth began seeing a counselor for her substance abuse. Beth found a job as a medical support worker where she was lauded by her employers for being so knowledgeable. It wasn't a nursing position, so they didn't really have an idea that she had been fired or why, basically. So that kind of explains that. And Beth was soon teaching other employees how to administer medication to patients. And she became heavily involved in her community's Baptist church where she met Daniel Wetlaufer, who worked as a long-haul trucker. The two married in 1997 after less than a year of knowing each other and lived in Woodstock, Ontario throughout their marriage. So, as I mentioned, turns out she had stayed in Canada. So, good to know that, you know, conversion therapy has been outlawed there. Well, by 2006, Beth and Daniel's marriage had grown kind of rocky. Beth had never quite gotten her sexuality, quote unquote, under control. And toward the end of her marriage, started seeking romantic relationships from other women online.
As we know, you cannot pray away the gay people. We are born this way.
We are truly born this way. Beth also, and I, you know, even the words under control, I'm like, I don't know if that's even the right way to put this because, you know, your sexuality doesn't necessarily need to be quote unquote under control, but it should be something that you're in tune with if you want to have healthy, compatible relationships, you know, with other people. So, and it's so hard. Like, I know so many people, Darren, like, I don't know what has happened in this pandemic the last couple of years, but I think people have really stopped and gotten to know themselves better because the amount of people that have come out to me that were otherwise straight people is remarkable over the last couple of years. And I've had a lot of... Well, I don't know. What does it mean? I don't know. But I've had a lot of conversations about this, and some people just, you know, they suppress their thoughts or they suppress the shame that they think is applied to this. And when you kind of don't have to face the same people, you know, whether it's work or school or
explore
whatever.
Explore other things. And we get older and we want to know more about ourselves.
Well, that's true,
and,
too.
You know, I mean.
I like it.
Yeah, I like literally better late than never, but I definitely think now, especially people around our age, you know, especially when you're home remote working, I think people want to be happy, you know, and I think people start wanting to choose happiness.
So Beth also began, you know, in her own way, hearing voices that she says told her she needed to make things right with God. That's a whole other layer of like a place I don't know that we need to be.
Yeah.
When Beth had a thought she didn't like, she had a habit of singing Bible verses out loud. This made interacting with other people, as you might expect, rather difficult.
And jarring.
And jarring, right,
jarring.
Exactly.
A little jarring.
By the way, if I heard somebody doing this like in public, I would assume that they weren't well mentally.
Right.
Beth later admitted that during this time she started fantasizing about killing her patients.
Oh no.
So this just took a very dark turn.
Well, in July of 2006, Beth's obsessive compulsive behavior had grown so bad that she took 2 weeks off from work and checked herself into a psychiatric hospital. She was diagnosed with BPD and depression and was prescribed antidepressants and antipsychotic medications. In early 2007, Daniel found out about one of Beth's online relationships and filed for divorce. In June of 2007, Beth began working at the Crescent Care Nursing Home, and she primarily worked the night shift, where her main responsibility was dispensing medication to patients.
Isn't this weird? I mean, there's a lot of she's around medicine a lot for somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, how do you keep finding yourself in this situation?
Well, because she's so probably fucked up from her religious upbringing and not being accepted that she's like, you know, struggling here. And by the time she was hired at this job, her previous citation was no longer on her nursing record. So sometime between June and December of 2007, Beth began injecting her patients with insulin. Insulin is a medication used to lower blood sugar. Too much insulin, including unnecessary injections, can lead to coma and death.
Which I didn't even know, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Insulin overdoses are difficult to detect, and death by insulin overdose can easily be mistaken for death by natural causes, especially in the elderly.
Interesting, which Beth's, I also didn't know.
I didn't know that. I didn't think it would be hard to detect for whatever reason other than, like, you'd think you'd be able to check an insulin level, although I guess people with diabetes have, you know, off insulin levels. So, but Beth's first victims were 87-year-old Clotilda Adriano and 90-year-old Albina Demiderios. This is, I mean,
tough names, first of all.
Tough names. But more importantly, it's like, in a weird way, like, I'm like, it would be equally disgusting if it were any age, but like, why 87 and 9? Like, I don't know. It's just like,
it's almost like, I wonder if she went through this thought process of being like, well, they're older anyway, so let me experiment with trying to kill them. Like, this is the way psychos and serial killers think.
Well, neither of these two women died from the injection. Clotilda lived for another year before passing away in July of 2008. Albina passed away on her 91st birthday on February 25th, 2010. So, fuck you. And these injections were later found to be aggravated assault, not murder.
Wow.
Because they didn't murder. She can't be convicted of murder because she didn't murder. But still, aggravated assault, I mean.
Well, Beth committed her first murder on August 11th, 2007, when she administered a lethal dose of insulin to 84-year-old Jim Silcox, a married father of six, and served in the Royal Canadian Army Service Corps during World War II. I mean, imagine surviving World War II, right? Yeah. And then this fucking happens. What tragedy. From December 22nd to the 23rd in 2007, Beth administered lethal doses of insulin to 84-year-old Mo Granite. Mo had two children and spent his life working as a mechanic. By the way, not that anyone's life is, you know, more important than another, but it's like when you're a veteran of the World War. I mean, come on. In January of 2008, Beth and Daniel's divorce was finalized. Immediately following her split from Daniel, Beth started abusing alcohol and opioids. She also dated several women before changing her mind and letting the people in her life know that she had found God and thus was no longer interested in women. Darren, you've had a similar life calling, I think, right? Yeah.
I've similar, clearly.
Clearly.
As we all know, I am a woman of God. I've renounced my love of Nadine because I found God.
You found me. Yeah.
I found you. Right.
Right.
And God
what more
would want
do you
us
need?
To be together. Precisely.
What more do you need?
Right.
Well, Beth later admitted that during this time, she had stolen medications from a safe at work that was used to store drugs that had belonged to deceased patients.
Ooh.
So this is like an extra layer of creepy. And by the way, I didn't even know they did things like this. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself. Throughout all of 2008 and 2009, Beth injected 63-year-old Michael Priddle with insulin, quote, with intent to murder, although his death sometime later was not believed to have been caused by Beth's misconduct. In 2008, Beth confessed to a new girlfriend that she had murdered two people with insulin overdoses and that she's tried to kill a third.
I can't tell. Like, obviously this person is like, not well. Like, Beth is not well. But she's a victim herself, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, and it's hard to sort of, you know, ascribe what part of, you know, this kind of insidious action has to do with her upbringing and the problems that come with that psychological torture. But yeah, you would think so. I mean, any human kind of hearing this story would probably think that.
Yeah.
Well, the girlfriend that she told this to responded, "Don't do that anymore. You don't want to get caught."
What?
And she
did.
But this girlfriend didn't tell anyone or report Beth to the police, which...
Which, to be fair, after you killed somebody, I said the same thing. I was like, just don't do that anymore.
You were like, hey.
Just don't do it anymore.
You said, hey, stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch.
Right, not a dead human touch. That's a very important lyric.
And that's how I became a Spice Girls fan.
Exactly.
Well, Beth also confessed to a teenage volunteer at her job after taking him to medieval times for his birthday.
Dream.
Darren, tell people about medieval times who may not know, because it does feel like a New Jersey thing. Am I wrong?
It is, but it's also out west. It's also out in California. But if you've ever seen the movie Cable Guy, Jim Carrey's character goes there. But essentially, it's like you are warped back into medieval times. It's very much so kid things. You eat with your hands and you watch this. Everyone's on like different teams. You get a color associated to this horse and this jouster, and they joust in the middle of this arena, and it looks like medieval
time. Such a beautiful way to put that. But it's just funny, like medieval times of all things. I don't know. But anyway, on the drive back from medieval times, Beth described the murders to the girls, to the girl who asked, quote, well, you're not doing them anymore.
How are people not like, what? A little myth that this girl has killed multiple people and is admitting it. And they're like, it happens.
It happens. Human. Yeah, we've all made mistakes.
We've all been there. Yeah, right.
Well, I will say this teenage girl ended her friendship with Beth. So that's a good thing. But she never did report the incident. She never reported. And I will say this, you know, I think we just kind of touched on this. But if somebody told me that they killed somebody, like... would I believe them, or B, when I like get into the middle of it by reporting it to the police? I'm not sure I would, to be completely fair. Yeah.
Well, from September 2008 to December 2008, Beth injected 57-year-old Wayne Hedges with insulin with intent to murder. He passed away on January 24th,
my birthday,
2009,
guys.
But authorities do not believe his death was caused by Beth. I don't get this.
But is this exactly what we were just saying? Is it that the insulin was hard to attribute to her as being the reason? You know, I think that has to do with it. I mean, think about all these people that are connected to her now that have died. I mean, come on now.
Well, October 13th, 14th, 2011, Beth administered lethal doses of insulin to 87-year-old Gladys Millard, a mother of two and a member of the Rose Rebecca Lodge, which was a social service fellowship whose prime directive is to visit the sick, relieve the distressed, bury the dead, and educate the orphan. Oh, so she's like fucking injecting Mother Teresa here with insulin.
Yeah, it's like how many more? And all these people are old and like probably grandparents. It's just so disturbing.
On October 26th, 2011, Beth administered lethal doses of insulin to 95-year-old Helen Matheson, a member of the United Church and a mom of two. On November 6th, so like 2 weeks later, Beth injected 96-year-old Mary Zerwininski with lethal doses of insulin. July 13th, 2013, this is 2 years later, Beth injected 90-year-old Helen Young with lethal doses of insulin. I mean, she's constantly connected to these cases. In October of 2013, Beth confessed her crimes to her pastor and his wife while sitting at the kitchen table. So to me, something says that she like understands what remorse is and regret and right and wrong. Apparently, the pastor and his wife held Beth's hands and prayed together, telling her, this is grace, this is forgiveness, but if you do it again, we'll have to report you.
Well, why don't you hold hands with a phone and dial 911 or the police immediately?
I mean, no one seems to care that she's doing this. No report was ever made to the police. And next, Beth confessed to one of her ex-boyfriends via text message. She described how many people she'd killed and said she'd been considering turning herself into the police. The ex-boyfriend asked, why don't you change your job so that you don't have the opportunity? He never alerted authorities about the conversation. And basically from March 22nd to March 28th, 2014, Beth murdered 79-year-old Maureen Pickering with lethal doses of insulin.
Let's go back to the ex-boyfriend. No, that's not how it works. You don't ask someone to change their job so that they can stop murdering. Oh, my God. Well, on March 31st, 2014, Beth was fired from her job.
Oh, great.
At Crescent Care, after administering the wrong medication to a patient who, according to Beth's letter of dismissal, quote, became over-medicated and experienced distress. Now, first of all, that's kind of my worst nightmare. There was a show on Oxygen when I worked there called, I don't think, was it called Bad Medicine or something? I'm forgetting the name of it. But it's about, yeah, it's about these, like, doctors and healthcare workers that would, you know, do this, like, purposefully. And it just really freaked me out. You know, I have white coat syndrome, which is when you go to a doctor's office and your blood pressure skyrockets and you just get nervous and panicky. It's 10 times worse after knowing that that type of stuff happens out there in the world. And I'm this story belongs on that show. But according to that same letter, Beth admitted her error and, quote, explained that it was inadvertent, end quote. The letter went on to explain that, quote, this is another incident in a pattern of behaviors that are placing residents at risk. You have an extensive disciplinary record for medication-related errors, which include numerous warnings as well as 1, 3, and 2 5-day suspensions, end quote. So, you know, I think essentially this employer, like, is basically like, you can't do this once. Yeah, let alone, like, many times.
I mean, but also, like, that's the thing, is like, she's confessed this to so many people too on the outside world. Like, this didn't need to happen. This is just ridiculous.
Well, upon her termination, Crescent Care notified the nursing board, even sending them a 20-page report about Beth's many medication errors. Now, this isn't like, you know, listen, people get written up at work. You might have a poor performance evaluation, whatever the case may be. But a 20-page report?
Jesus.
Yeah, that sounds like even worse than what we're reporting here on the show today. Well, the nursing board never followed up on the report, later stating that they at no point had any underlying concerns about Beth's ability to continue working in healthcare. What?
Yeah, okay, okay. This is like their ex-boyfriend. Like, just don't do it again. I've got no concerns.
That's true, but remember, she was doing this, and they may not have known that she was connected to it. I mean,
right.
Of course, they were around it, but they weren't able to attribute a lot of these deaths to her, at least at the time.
No, well, Beth, just, like, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Beth continued to work as a registered nurse with a staffing agency until October 2016. Now we're just a few years ago, really. It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
From August 23rd to August 31st, 2014, Beth administered lethal doses of insulin to 75-year-old Arpad Horvath at the Meadow Park facility in Ontario. From September 1st to the 30th, 2015, Beth injected 77-year-old Sandra Towler with insulin with the, quote, intent to murder. Sandra lived at the Telfer Place retirement home in Ontario. From August 1st to the 30th, 2016, there was 68-year-old Beverly Beecham with the insulin with intent to murder. Beverly lived at home in Ontario, not at a healthcare facility.
Oh, God.
So, you know, maybe this was like an at-home situation. In early September 2016, Beth's employer assigned her to a position at a school that required her to administer insulin to diabetic children. Why? Why? On September 16th, 2016, Beth quit her job and checked herself into a rehab facility because she was afraid she would be unable to resist hurting the children.
See, that's what I mean. Like, she knows she has some sort of barrier because otherwise she wouldn't confess to these people and turning herself in.
A weird thing because she sounds like such a monster. But to your point earlier, you're like, you know, something is wrong with her. There is a mental,
in some way.
Yeah. So you make a really good point there. Once she was admitted into rehab, Beth began to confess to the medical staff who reported her to the police. Okay, finally.
Yeah,
you know, she's confessing to all these people. Now that even has me thinking, you know, all these other people that she talked to about it. Maybe that was her way of confessing, you know, then as well. And then maybe she's like, maybe she knew
them to go to the police.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I think she really wanted it. I just don't think she could help stop herself. On September 29th, 2016, 49-year-old Beth was interviewed by the police, and the following day, her nursing license was finally revoked.
Right.
Finally, on October 25th, 2016, Beth was charged with 8 counts of first-degree murder. On January 13th, 2017, Beth was charged additionally with 4 counts of attempted murder and 2 counts of aggravated assault. And on June 1st of 2017, Beth actually pled guilty to all of these charges. A few short weeks later, on the 26th, the court had held a sentencing hearing, which gave Beth's victims and their families a chance to read impact statements. And at the end of the hearing, Beth was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole for 25 years. Although the court could have sentenced her to 8 consecutive life terms, totaling 200 years, the judge acknowledged that the only reason her murders had been found out was because she had confessed repeatedly.
So what? I don't think that's a reason to give a lighter sentence.
The only reason I would say that it is because I think that it shows some sort of humanity here. I mean, I'm not saying it's justified, but there is some sort of human element in this woman, whether it's just so much. I mean, she stopped herself from kind of hurting kids. I'm not saying she deserves a medal or no time. Well, I'm just saying it might be. I don't think prison is necessarily the right thing for this woman.
Well, I agree completely. Let me clarify that too. But also, maybe this also sets a little bit of a precedent, right? Like, confess to these types of murders and you won't go to jail for life for 200 years.
Right, because if you don't confess, like, you want to give people incentives to obviously do the right thing.
Yeah.
On June 5th, 2018, a public inquiry began to examine the circumstances of the long-term health care facility, which allowed Beth to begin killing patients and get away with it for so long. This inquest led to a thorough examination of the conditions of long-term care facilities in Ontario, increased funding for training and staff education, increased staffing levels of nurses, less reliance on temp agency placement, and improved storage and tracking of medications.
Yeah, so I was going to say, Yeah, I feel like the tracking in particular, you know, that has to be in place, because if all it takes is a couple more drops of insulin to kill people over and over again, that, you know, this has to be handled with extreme care. So,
or that people are abusing their patients' drugs, you know, not even necessarily administering to them. But Beth will be eligible for parole in 2041, although the judge noted in a statement that he believes her unlikely to be released.
Well, listen, I mean, we didn't even get into what was the motive here. I mean, we don't know the motive.
We don't know. But clearly she was... Yeah. There's some sort of victim-y thing here with her. I mean, I think it's sad. I think the whole thing is sad. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve any punishment, but I also think she has some sort of humanity within her, clearly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you know what? She could have gotten a fucking away with it, because none of these things were actually tied to her if she didn't confess over and over and over again.
I know, and it's so weird. This one, I feel like I'm going to be thinking about a lot, because there's so many elements of, like, if one little thing changed just a little bit, you know, would someone's life have been saved? Would someone, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the thing about our stories, Darren, is, like, one little detail change could have affected the whole thing. But
it's so true. Yeah. Well, we want to hear what you guys think about this. At Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Definitely let us know what you guys think about this, because this is pretty big.
I agree.
Like John said, we're going to be thinking about this one for a while.
That's true. It is a big one. So now let's get to the fun part, Darren, because that was a very heavy episode, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's bring on our first ever Patreon super fan, Denise Anthony.
Woo!
All right, Denise, welcome to the show. And thank you.
That was me.
That's Darren, by the way, not Denise. Thank you so much for being such a dedicated Patreon pledger for us over the years, and a big fan.
I really appreciate it.
I know. I got to tell you, I was a virgin before I met you guys. And what I mean by that is, you were the very first podcast I ever listened to.
Just to clarify here, she was a virgin to podcasting.
I prefer the other version. And John, you finally lost your virginity to someone. Thank God.
To somebody. Thank God.
Thank you, Denise, for doing that. We really appreciate it.
Then
I catch up with Martinis and Murder. Then I had to go back and catch up with Currently. And then then I had Hot Failure when everybody, you know, when you guys moved to Shaken and Disturbed.
Yeah.
But now everything's good.
Well, thank you. By the way, those
who
don't know.
We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. This is our show. Yeah. Currently, for those who don't know, was mine and Darren's first ever podcast. You can't even find it anymore, I don't think. I think we stopped. What's that, Denise? Go ahead.
Up there. It is.
It's still there. Okay, that's interesting, because I thought we stopped paying for the space. So I don't know how that happened.
Showing somebody the other day, because somebody was asking about it, and I did the screenshot of it. I don't know if it was Spotify.
Wonderful. I love Denise knows more about us than we do, Denise, as you can
is
tell.
And as you guys can see, is a longtime fan of ours with Martinis and Murder currently. And now Shaken and Disturbed. It only makes sense that you're our first ever Patreon.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's the least we could do. And I hope that you're ready to be on air. You came to our live show and you brought Bailey's. Of course, yeah. You brought booze. I mean,
yes, booze for everybody. Yeah,
that's right. And Denise, remind me, I might be wrong, but that was our Boston show
when Matt was bowing to the curtain.
Oh my God!
Yes, he was. That's right. And I correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we run into you outside of the...
When you were going in.
You were going in.
Yes,
I'll never forget that. Darren and I were walking over, I think, just to go in for the night. And you guys were standing outside and you were like, you were like, Mom, Dad? And we were like, what? For us? Are you looking for us?
Yes, exactly. That's yes, amazing. Yes.
And so that was the night...
Just re-laughing at Matt bowing to the curtain.
I know.
What a shit show that
Halloween. It was Halloween.
The Halloween show. I will never forget. Darren, do you remember? And I'm sure Denise, you were there too when this was happening. The wind that night.
Yes. That's why when went in early, we were like rushing past, and we're like, we have to go inside. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
It was probably 60 mile per hour gusts, and I'm not exaggerating. It was something crazy like that. So
cool.
We're going to get into some more about with Denise here, but Denise has pledged at our super fan level on Patreon, which means anyone who pledges at that level can opt in to becoming a guest on our show. Luckily, Denise thankfully agreed. We thought you were such... And the dog, by the way. Yes.
Yes.
And our goal...
Yeah, you too.
Great. Our goal is to get every single one of you super fans on the show, maybe even more than once over the course of time. So Denise, you know, it's just so great to see you. And yeah.
I got to say, I'm honored to be the first podcast that you would ever listen to, only because I don't think I can remember. It might have been Serial, but I don't remember being like, I'm going to download a podcast and just
listening to iHeartRadio and something come up there and it was like a little ad or something for you guys. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I just got hooked, totally hooked. You guys are great. I don't know if you guys realize what positive you bring to like people. Like you just, Ray, both of you, a ray of sunshine every week to listen to. I don't think you realize it. The Facebook group is great.
Facebook group is fantastic.
It's a positive page. Aww. Like, you know,
it really is. Yeah.
They're like, I need pictures of animals, and 200 people post pictures of their animals,
it's true.
It's a group of people, it really is. There's no negative. It's great.
I will say, I never thought that doing, and by the way, thank you so much, that was so nice of you to say those things to us. I never thought, Darren, doing a true crime podcast, people would be like, you guys are so nice and the positive, you know what I mean? Like, we're just kind of talking about death and murder, you know what I'm saying?
But it's but that side note, you guys just a great team. You're just
thank you.
The animal game is so strong and I absolutely love it in our Facebook group. Like, you're right. If you're just like, I'm having a bad day, I need this. And the fact that you run a farm is cooler.
And my and I say we're pretty good marriage, 26 years, and we haven't been an episode of your shows. So that's pretty
a good thing. That is a good
in 2 weeks, 26 years.
Yeah, your keep that streak going. Mazel tov.
Yeah, congrats. Sure. I would say that when John and I do shows a lot of times, or we have a Q&A, people are always like, what got you into true crime? Or what's like the case that keeps you up at night? So I kind of want to flip it on you and what got you into it? Or is there any case that you wish you could solve or something?
The case, actually, I keep sending it to you guys, and you guys got to do a case from Rhode Island. You haven't done anything from Rhode Island yet.
We'll do it.
No. Oh my God, let's tell Megan. Okay, we're gonna do it.
And Megan would love this because Megan used to live in Rhode Island. I was chatting with her.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah, and the Adam Emery case. It was a road rage, murder, conviction. They let them out on bail, and him and his wife supposedly committed suicide. Where I work, the bridge that I work.
Oh my God.
Fascinating case. And it's been, I think, 30 years next year. And they found her skull. Actually, a fisherman found her skull. They never found anything with him. And this was at the time we didn't have any cameras or anything on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what happened. They had video from the court. where they had a lip reader come in and was reading what they were saying to each other. And he said something like, "We're going with our plan," something to that effect.
Wow.
And they bought weights at a sports authority store. They bought some like ankle weights and stuff. Yeah. Just a fascinating story. That's one that I would love to get.
What's you guys the name? Want
to do it with Adam Emery.
Darren's writing it down with her pencil right now. This isn't, we're not, it's this a is pen, serious. John. It's this a is pen. Serious business if she's actually writing that down. No, that's good. We should take a second and mention to everyone listening that we get so many suggestions. Oh, sure. Please don't take it personally, but we do have a document. You can ask Megan. We did this at the beginning of Shaken and Disturbed. We were like, Megan, we're going to send you all these suggestions, put them in a Google Doc and get to them whenever we can.
Yeah.
And she's been doing pretty a great job. Yeah, it's I'm sure it's in there. We probably just haven't caught up to it yet. But
I'm sure. But that's one a local one is always just kind of And then I was mowing underneath. I do a landscape at the bridge. They have a memorial under the bridge.
Oh wow.
And I saw, I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Wow. Fascinating. And it was 30 years ago next November.
Wow. Well, Darren, should we move right along into our first ever super fan Patreon game? Darren's dream is to be a game show host, so this is really exciting.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Absolutely. And this is a game we've played on our Patreon lives before, but every time it's something different, and it's kind of a simple 50-50, get it right. If you get 5 out of 10 of these right, we're going to give you a $50 Amazon card. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which is going to go directly to those cats.
You know that.
Yeah. princess.
Yes, absolutely.
That's true. And you know, this isn't a cat butt tissue holder. This is $50 Amazon gift card that you can use to buy a cat butt tissue holder.
Right. We will mandate that you buy cat butt holder, but no. Yes.
Cat butt holder. Oh.
Cat butt holder. Exactly.
And we're definitely, let me just say this, because you know, on our Patreon lives, we tend to just give away the gifts regardless. Mm-hmm. We're sticking to our guns on this one and on future ones. However, there is a consolation prize if you lose that will be revealed at the end. But I will tell you, it's definitely, what's that?
I might have to phone a cat, you know, phone a
You
friend.
Might have to phone a cat.
Exactly.
But exactly. I will say the
you consolation can phone the cats or ducks.
That's
they're
fine.
Right here somewhere. Oh, yeah.
But I will say the consolation prize if you don't win is definitely not a $50 gift card. So be prepared for that. Okay.
Maybe it's a cat butt holder. But this game is we're gonna say a statement. John and I are just gonna say a statement one at a time, and you just have to say if that's John's fact or Darren's fact.
It's the John or Darren game. You may remember
the John
this.
Or Darren game.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So, you ready?
Yeah, Darren, take the first one. Yeah.
Okay. John or Darren? My dad was in Playboy magazine.
Really?
One of our dads.
No kidding.
Was
I'm
it?
Out, check it out. Ow.
Final answer?
Yes.
Darren, reveal.
It was actually my father who was in Playboy magazine. Yes.
Darren.
Yes.
So let me just say before we get going, I asked Darren to send me some facts. I was like, they don't need to be wild and crazy. It could be like, I ate a salad today. And the first thing she wrote was that my dad was in Playboy magazine. I was like, Darren, I said,
I am cackling.
Yeah, I was screaming. Darren, tell us how did this happen? And does your dad know that we're talking about this on a nationally worldwide broadcasted podcast?
It's not as salacious or sexy as I think it should be, but I used to my family started a ski shop called Princeton Ski Shops.
That's
and
right.
We advertised in Playboy magazine, and my dad was in like one of the models in the ads for
my god.
So you see him as like a young guy, probably like I don't know, around my age maybe.
Yeah. Interesting.
So he's in Playboy. I'll show you the
do picture. You have the ad? I was gonna say we need to maybe post the ad in Patreon or something.
Yeah, like I think we will.
Okay, Denise, you still have 9 more tries to get it.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here's the next one. Who said this? Whose fact is this? John or Darren? I'm currently a part of 2 active investigations by police that I can't talk about.
Oh.
Is that John?
I'm gonna say John again.
You kind of hesitated for a second. Yeah. Do you want to explain why? Are you thinking it could be Darren?
No. Maybe it has to do with that TikTok you made with those jeans that were kind of sussy. you know.
Yeah, my maybe. Bike ride that I was surrounded by very sussy moments.
That
yeah.
was really funny. Yeah.
Okay, final answer me.
Final answer, yes.
You're correct. It's me. Oh,
see?
All right, that's one. I'm tallying it.
Yes.
One for
Denise. Darren's writing down with her pen that looks like a pencil.
Yes. Yes.
It's true. I'm part of two active investigations. They are not connected in any way. I cannot speak about them, but when the time comes down the road, I certainly will. Oh. I mean, listen, okay. I do a true crime podcast. I've got to talk about it.
You're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one. You're one for one. Here we go. All you need is four more.
You need only four more. Yep.
You can do it.
Which one of us recently spent $150 on Oculus VR games?
Now you're caught up with the show, right, Denise? Because
we both have the Oculus.
We both bought an Oculus.
That's a spoiler alert. We both have the Oculus.
That's
so
right.
This could be any one of us. You think Darren would spend $150 on Oculus VR games, Denise?
Final answer?
My mind, John.
Final answer? But could Darren be leading you astray, you know?
Or could I be tricking you?
No,
because you know I've been obsessed with my Oculus.
As have I, though. God. As have
and
I.
And I love to fish. I love to fish Darren, on it.
Darren, final answer.
Unfortunately, the loser here is John Thrasher, who spent $150 on his Oculus VR
I
game.
Did.
But we don't shame him. We just make fun of him slowly over time.
I feel bad because we led Denise off of the right.
I led her astray.
Thing. Yeah, you did lead her astray.
Right.
All right. All right, you still have plenty of chances, though. You're not out of the game.
We got it.
All right, here we go. Number four, you still have plenty of chances here. Number four is, who said this? I don't like the taste of sea urchins.
Sea
urchins. Now, we can't, let's not, Darren, say anything about what our preferences are with seafood.
Like onions, is it?
It's hard to say. Hard to say. That's I hate that word, and you just made me nauseous, yeah. But that's okay. Who do you think hates the taste of sea urchins?
A fishmonger would say.
Oh, good one. Denise is such an encyclopedia
she
of
really
our stuff.
Is.
I'm going to say Darren.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You're correct. It's Darren.
You are correct.
You're up to
I
two.
I do not like uni. I do not like it.
I will That's say this. Terrible. It could have been me too. Good. So you could have gone either way, but I have never tasted sea urchins, so I can't confirm that I...
Sounds terrible.
That's true. It does sound terrible.
It's not good.
All right, let's keep it going.
Okay, which one of us said this? Who hated the movie Licorice Pizza?
Oh, no, I can't remember this. Wait a minute.
I was going to say, this was on a recent episode, I do believe.
I remember it.
You got a 50-50 chance, if nothing else.
Darren, final answer.
That is correct.
That's correct, Denise.
I did not like the movie.
Licorice I never saw that one. Never even heard of that
I
one.
I really wanted to like it. It's Paul Thomas Anderson. I really wanted to like it. But it just...
That was just like, I think, last week's episode or something, I think.
Well, okay, you have plenty of chances and you only need two more. So
two more. You're 2 points away from the $50 Amazon gift card, which you may or may not use to buy a cat butt tissue holder. Here we go.
Correct.
Number six. Who says, my first apartment in New York City was in Harlem on 141st Street?
Darren, final answer.
Oh, that was a quick one. That's wrong, yeah. Denise. That's me.
Really? It's John. Yeah. I lived on 107th.
That's right. You did. I forgot about that.
But no, it was Johnny Boy.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Okay.
Still plenty of chances. Yep.
Which one of us took a bath for the first time in 25 years on New Year's Eve?
To be clear, this person also took a shower over the last 25 years. It wasn't the
first
ever time.
It wasn't the first
themselves.
Time they cleansed themselves. It
Thank
was the first
you.
Time they took a bath specifically. Let's clarify.
Clarify that, yes.
John, and that the episode, I got to say, that with the shampoo bottle that
oh,
was spinning.
Oh, God.
That was
Denise, how do you remember all? I don't even remember this.
Because it was terrifying, John.
It was terrifying.
But that was a great story. I like that stuff.
Thank you. Well, listen, it wasn't great for me. It was terrifying. So you're thinking it's me, final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Okay, Darren.
It was me, Denise.
Really?
It was Darren.
John loves to take a bath.
I was
not
necessarily
to relax, and I don't. And so I was like, really? I have a beautiful tub. I'm going to do it. And I did it.
I know.
To be fair, I showered afterwards, though, because it's not a form of cleanly.
No, I do the same thing. Darren and I, we should also mention, I texted Darren something about my wild night in on New Year's Eve. I'm in the bathtub. And she literally wrote back, I just took a bath too for the first time in a very long time. And I was like, were we naked together at the same time? That's crazy.
You were like, we're naked playing around in the bathtub together. Like, and I was like, no.
But by the way, it's New Year's Eve. You'd think we'd be out, like, you know, partying the night away, but we were, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not a party animal.
It's all right. So Denise, you have a score of 3 points. Let's just recap. You have three chances left to get two. So you have to get two out of the next three right. And these don't exactly get easier. I'm just going to share that with you now. All right, here we go. Denise, who said that Naomi Campbell once wished me a great day on my first... Let me redo this.
Wow, John.
Here, let me redo this because I'm reading the script as if it's the first person, so I'm messing it up. Okay, who says this? Quote, Naomi Campbell once wished me a great day on my first day of a job. End quote. Darren?
Final answer?
Yes. I'm sorry, Denise. It was me again. This was a tricky one because Darren is so, you know, she works with reality people every day. But Naomi Campbell, on my first day of work at Oxygen in 2012, tweeted me, hope you have a great day. Can't wait to work together soon. Oh. At the time, she was one of the judges on The Face, if you remember that modeling competition show. So, all right, Denise, you have to get the next two right.
Oh, boy, the pressure.
I feel good about this.
All right.
Which one of us said this? I am obsessive about closing my rings on my Apple Watch exercise rings.
Oh, that has to be John. Wait a minute.
Darren, do you have your Apple Watch on right now? Let's see. Okay. Should we see where our rings are? We're on the Zoom. Oh, I can't really point it, but we're showing Denise our Apple Watch rings, but I don't know that happened. So you thought it was Darren, but do you want to take another? I'm sorry, you thought it was me. Yeah. Do you want to take another?
You're Apple crazy, so I'm going to stick with John.
Stick with me?
Yeah. He's Apple crazy, but I'm kind of fitness crazy.
So I'm going to change that to Darren final answer.
That's a good point. Darren is more fitness.
Not that John's not. It's just not in a way to control.
John had to hire somebody. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Okay.
I'm still an Android person, so Apple,
I got it. Okay. You just have to get this last one right, Denise. Okay. So you're good.
The pressure.
So we're going to say it's Darren, right? Do we give her the fourth one?
I literally cannot. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. It was Darren. You're right. Correct.
Yes. Correct.
Ding, ding, ding. You're up to four. All right, Denise, you have to get this last one. We have to say, in the spirit of rules, and Darren is, you know, Darren wants to be a game show host. You got to stick to the rules. We can't be giving away cars.
We're not going
to
give you a head.
Right. Yeah.
This is it.
If everyone could win a car and The Price is Right, it wouldn't be a fun game. Okay. Here we go.
Sure it would.
The very last one. This is great. Well, that's true. Maybe it would be a good show. I'm just thinking about that now. Okay. Last one. Who said this? I get a 12 pack of Orbit strawberry chewing gum delivered automatically to me every month from Amazon.
Oh.
This could really be anybody.
I think that's Darren. I think that's Darren.
Okay. Why do you think it's Darren? Just out of curiosity.
Walk us through this thought process.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about bubblegum at some point.
She was bubblegum for Halloween. That's probably
I was bubblegum for Halloween.
But would that necessarily translate into your adult
life? Maybe it's because I really love gum.
Yeah, I think so. What were you talking about, that gum, Hubba Bubba gum? Do you remember that? Hubba Bubba gum?
I do remember Hubba Bubba. I might have talked about the bazooka.
Bazooka. That's gum. I'm going to go with Darren. All right. I got a 50-50 shot.
Are you sure?
I'm going to go with...
I'm just thinking, I don't want to lead you astray, but I do want you to take a minute and just think about... Think about strawberry. Like, strawberries are very gay. Let's put it this way. It's like, you know what I mean? Not that Darren's not gay, but
someone loves to eat his dessert at all times. I personally love a dessert in liquid form or gum form.
I'm
going to
go with John.
You're switching to John. Final answer. Denise, congratulations. You've just won your first ever $50 Amazon gift card.
awesome. Thanks, guys.
I should have put some sound effects up here, but I didn't. Denise, that was painful. I'm going to be honest, but it was.
I think for everybody,
it was painful for everybody. But
the only consolation is that everyone's going to get a car. That's what we know.
That's true. No, I will tell you. You'll hear it on Sunday's episode. But the consolation prize was going to be a bottle of vitamin D supplements. You didn't want that.
I need that.
I like Denise's attitude that she needed.
Well,
that.
Now that you've won a $50 gift card, you can buy 20 packs of them or have them delivered every month, like I do with my Gorbits gum.
But I'll probably stick with the toys and cat, dog food.
I would stick with that as well, for sure, over any vitamin D that John would give me. Denise, thank you so much for joining us. Did you have a good time? Was it okay?
Great. I'm very excited when I got your you guys' message to do this. It's wonderful. It's cool. It's really neat.
Hopefully we'll have you on again sometime in the future. We're going to try to do these, I don't know, Darren, once a month, twice a month. Maybe we'll see how it feels and who's interested.
If you also want to join us on an episode of Shaken and Disturbed and compete for a $50 gift card, maybe even more, sign up to be a super fan on our Patreon, patreon.com/shakeitanddisturbed. Click the link in our show notes. You can also DM John Thrasher and I on at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren. Definitely do that. Tweet us. Facebook group. Love Denise.
Love you, Denise.
Anything else?
Denise, I think Megan. Let's say thanks, Megan. But also, Denise, I think that we should anoint you our official Shaken and Disturbed encyclopedia.
Yes.
Because nobody, including me or Darren, understand or remember the things that you have remembered just showing us today on the show. So thank you.
You have 9,000 animals to distract you and you came today.
Love them. Yeah.
A lot to us.
Thanks. And we'll see everybody who's listening next time on Shaken and Disturbed.
Bye.
Denise, say bye to everybody too.
Bye, everyone.
5 new messages. Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.